Welcome to the middle of the air.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is John C. Haynes.
What do you like about Laurie McKay's books?
I like the fantasy of them.
Favorite character?
So far it's Sir Horace. He's Caden's horse.
What do you like about Sir Horace?
I like horses and they're adorable, and I think he's a really heroic horse.
What attracted you to this book in the first place?
I really like fantasy. I like Dungeons and Dragons, so this looked like a really good book.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, Laurie McKay. We're here with Laurie McKay, and we're at the Fountainhead Bookstore in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and we're getting our levels right.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
All right. Perfect. Perfect. So the reason we're here is to sort of celebrate the release of your second book, which was released when?
It was released February 2nd, so on Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog's Day?
Groundhog's Day 2016.
Did you have one of those days that went over and over and over again?
I was kind of wondering if I would. I thought that might be kind of nice, but it was a nice day, but it only once.
So what did you do on that day? Did you do any special
event
or anything?
I did a party with my friends and family near my hometown, but that was about 2 weeks later. So I think on the actual day that the book came out, I was working on my third book.
Good for you.
I think I was working on revisions that day.
And the series is called the Dragon Charmer series.
Yeah, it's called The Last Dragon Charmer.
Last Dragon Charmer. The first book, which I started reading, was Villain Keeper.
Villain Keeper.
And the second one is what?
The second one is Quest Maker.
Quest Maker.
And the third one is going to be Realm Breaker.
Realm Breaker.
Yes.
And these are for what age group?
They're middle grade or upper middle grade, so probably 8 to 10 and up.
Uh-huh.
So depending on the person reading it, but I think 8 years to 10 years old and older probably are a good fit for this book.
Okay.
I always think like 4th, 5th, 6th graders and hopefully adults can enjoy it as well.
Right, right. So that was one of the first questions that came to my mind. How did that work? Did you set up and say, I'm going to write a book for this age group? Or did you start thinking of a story and then realize it would be good for that age group?
I started thinking of the story first. Uh-huh. And then when I started writing it, I tried to figure out which age group it would, if younger people are going to be reading it, there's a few things you want to not have in it.
Right,
you know,
right.
You want to make sure it's family friendly, mm-hmm. or at least mostly family friendly, hopefully.
Right. Okay. Did you do any research about, you know, the elements that are to specialize in that age group, or did you just kind of let the story flow?
I let the story flow, but I did read about that age group, and I realized that was a time when I read those types of books. That's when I really enjoyed reading. I really uh-huh. enjoyed reading when I was that age. So it occurred to me writing a book for that same age group might really appeal to me as well. So I did a little research on things like word counts and what you maybe absolutely know-nos about what you really probably shouldn't put in, which isn't much. You know, there's
right.
middle grade can be lots of different things. There can be a lot of different things in it. But then I wrote it, and it actually is a little longer than a lot of middle
grade. So what is the word count on your book?
They're about 70,000 words.
That's 70,000. So that's not that much different than,
no,
than the average, you right. know, mystery novel or something like that.
I think the first book ended up like 71,400 and the words, and the second one ended up 71,300. So
okay.
they are amazingly close in word count,
wow.
book one and two.
And you didn't attend it that way, it just sort of
no.
came out that
so
way.
So I guess the stories for these particular series are about 70,000 words.
Okay. Well, tell the listeners that haven't read any of this just a little bit about the stories. What would you like them to know about the stories?
Well, the story is a portal fantasy, and a portal fantasy is, you know, where a character from one world comes to another world, usually.
And that's a whole subgenre, portal fantasy?
It's something I've heard, so
okay,
I think
cool.
so. And, you know, a lot of fantasies, like in The Wizard of Oz, she starts off in Kansas, and she goes through the tornado portal, and
so
she ends up
in portal.
Oz.
So that's a portal. Wow, okay.
I would call it one. And,
all
you know,
right, yeah.
And even in, you know, in a lot of fantasy novels, you'll see characters go from one world to another. And a lot of them, it's the characters from the real world entering the fantasy world. in my book, I did the reverse. I have the fantasy characters coming to our world. And there are other stories like that, too, but I like those. I like the ones where it's sort of the reverse, where the fantasy characters come to our world. And I brought him to North Carolina. So there's a fantasy prince and a fantasy sorceress and a horse who end up in Asheville, North Carolina. And since the series is called The Last Dragon Charmer, it's probably not a spoiler to say there might be dragons about.
There might be dragons.
And Asheville, you know, has a fiery name, and it has ancient mountains, and it's a cool city. And this whole area, Hendersonville and Asheville, are just neat. I don't know, they're just interesting places. So they seemed a good location for, you know, a dragon to be hanging out.
And the summer, so I started reading your first book, and where it really hit full stride was when the main character, the prince, that gets sent to Asheville, when he starts going to school. Yeah. That really, that really, for me, was when it reminded me of books I read when I was that age.
And actually, that's one of my favorite scenes. And in the book, you know, he comes to our world and he's sort of sentenced to foster care in his mind. And then mm-hmm. he has to endure middle school, too.
Uh-huh.
But he finds out the teachers are a little more villainous than you might expect.
You know, that explains so much about my experience in grade school.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you did this because it explains a lot about Asheville. Just had a little talk by you and a book signing, and the kids here were crazy in love with these books.
Well, I hope they like them. The kids who've been reading in them have told me they really enjoy them, and they always ask me interesting questions about Caden, who's the prince, or Bryn, yeah. who's the sorceress, or Tito, who is from our world,
uh-huh.
And how they're going to defeat the villains and who they're going to fight next.
Uh-huh. Yeah, these kids were just full of questions. They couldn't wait, and they were mm-hmm. asking one after another.
And about this world and that world. And there's a lot in this book about the fantasy world, too. I mean, there's a connection between the two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why he's here, and that sort of unfolds through book two and three,
mm-hmm.
more so. And even some in book one.
Are there any books that you'd say are kind of inspirations to you or to...
Well, I did...
Not specifically to this book, or maybe specifically to this book.
Well, when I first started reading, one of the first books I read was The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah?
So I guess I've always had a thing for characters being transported from one world to another.
Okay,
so I do think I was influenced by that. This isn't a book, but I think I was also influenced a little by Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
Especially when I wrote the sequel, my mom kept telling me, think about The Empire Strikes Back. That was a great sequel.
Yeah.
Think about that. And not that my book's anything like that, but I think some of that bled into my mind because there's a place where a character gets his hand cut off in book two.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that might be because I'm thinking Star Wars in my head.
Could be. Did you ever read the Dune series?
I haven't.
Okay. The reason I ask is the very first part of your book, the opening scene, kind of reminded me of the opening scene of Dune.
What happened in the opening scene?
In the opening scene of Dune, you have a young prince, or the heir to a duke, actually. And it's at night. He's woken up at night to do some special thing. I won't tell you anymore. But sort of, not specifically what happens, but sort of the tone of it mm-hmm. really, really put me back in the mind of that book.
Well, it's interesting because originally I had started the book with them starting in Asheville after they'd already come.
Okay.
And then I added on the scenes where they were transported back.
Uh-huh.
So that was sort of something I revised and did in edits.
So did you revise that before it went to the publisher, or was that
yes.
one of the things they'd done?
No, it was after it went to the publisher.
Okay.
It was after that, so that was a suggestion from my editor, actually, uh-huh. to add that scene.
Right, right. And you've been happy with the publisher?
Yes, I have. I thought they've done a nice job. They've given me lots of feedback on yeah. the writing, which is really helpful. Overwhelming at times, but helpful.
Tell about what you were telling us about the cover art.
Oh, the cover art is
the evolution of the cover art.
Yeah, I got to see some of the cover art, but the cover art usually the publisher sends me when they're when they've almost decided on part of it. So if you look at book one, you can see the final version of the cover art, but, you know, there were different different iterations of that beforehand. And I think there were actually like three or four different sketches, and they chose one. And I didn't see the other sketches until recently, so that was really interesting to share.
Mm-hmm.
What they did send me, though, was very close to the final version. And they asked me if I wanted to make any comments or changes. The only thing I asked them to change was the color of the horse, because the horse was brown. And he's actually white on the cover.
Right.
So I asked them if they would please change him to white. And my editor said, do you really want him white?
So there was some resistance to it.
But just a little bit. I said, please. And then they said, okay. So I thought they changed him nicely.
Well, I like the covers of it. I think it's good artwork, and it definitely conveys to you what's inside those covers, I think. At least the tone of it.
I hope so. And I like the second book. I keep telling people it's striking, the cover of the second book, but that's because there's lightning on there.
Yeah.
But I think it's eye-catching. I like the colors they use, too. I think it's an interesting...
Right.
I don't know. I think it's a neat-looking cover.
And you can definitely tell that, and they say, you know, you should be able... The books in a series should be distinctive, but related, so you can tell it's a series. I think they did well with that, too.
Yeah, the first book's kind of bluish-gray purple, and the second one's kind of pinkish-red-orange.
Uh-huh.
So I'm curious to see what the third book will be.
But nevertheless, you can tell it's the same. You can tell it's the same series.
Yeah, definitely. And they have the outline and the framing the same on each one.
So you got a third book in the series coming out.
Yes.
And that is that all edited and just ready to go, or do you still have work to do on that one?
It's almost finished, so I think I'll have one more small round of edits, but I don't want to jinx myself, but I think it's close to being done.
Okay.
I know it was accepted, so that means it's going to copy edits, which is smaller edits than these larger ones I've done.
Sure. And then that comes out when?
I'm assuming it'll come out in February 2017. So,
okay.
The first one came out in February 2015, the second one in February 2016, so I'm assuming it'll be the same. They told me they'd be about a year apart.
Okay.
So my guess is February 1st, 2017.
Okay.
But we'll see, because, this was a leap year, so we'll see. On a Tuesday,
that
first week of February, that's my guess is when it'll be coming out.
You're writing your next project after this.
I have, and I've shared it with my agent.
Uh-huh.
And he seems to like it, but it's still very, very early.
Okay.
So I'm hopeful that one will someone will want to publish that one as well.
Okay. And is it more in the same series, or is it
it's a Southern Gothic middle grade novel.
Ooh.
Southern Gothic beachy.
Okay, you got my attention already.
Yeah.
Southern Gothic portal middle grade.
I don't think there's
portal. Not portal, okay.
But not a portal in this one, but there are monsters, so.
Well, let me ask you this before we close here. If you have fans that want to follow you, what's the best way to follow you? Is it your website?
Probably my website. That's lauriemckay.net.
.net, okay.
And I'm also on Twitter at McKay LL.
Okay, Facebook?
And I'm on Facebook at Lori McKay.
Excellent.
So any of those, and they're all interconnected.
Excellent. Anything I forgot to ask you want to get?
No, but thank you for, not that I know of, not that I remember, but thank you for having me here and talking to me today about my books.
Thanks for coming, and best of luck. I hope you sell about 1 million of these things.
I hope so, too. I hope I sell my Southern Gothic one
excellent,
as well.
Excellent. Thanks for listening. This is Ken Butcher, host of the Middle of the Air podcast, interviews with authors and artists in Western North Carolina. We're coming to you from Novels and Novelty Bookstore, formerly known as the Fountainhead Bookstore, located on Main Street, Hendersonville, North Carolina. To subscribe to our podcast or to listen to other episodes, just visit our website at www.themiddleoftheair.com. See you next time.